Now it is. Okay. Thank you. Go ahead. Start again now, please.
So on Wednesday of this week, I asked people to contemplate questions they had about what we're doing together, the Dharma, our process here in reflective meditation. And so we're going to take up some of these questions. And we decided to start with this question. And this is how it was stated. She said, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, are they of equal value to me? No, they're not. So in her meditation, she pictured the Buddha as a big wheel of cheese, round, full of nourishment, consistent throughout. You want to take it from there, Linda? It seems like you're ready.
Yeah, I would like to share this part because it was a very interesting question and phrased in a interesting way. She saw the Dharma as slices of that wheel, slices of cheese, equally nourishing, she says, and consistent, full of truth, truth of nourishment.
The Sangha, however, is more like cheese and crackers and tea, kind of a mess and fraught with human consistency. Who's going to bring the cheese and crackers?
Are
Why do
they
you
fresh? Who's gonna clean them up? Who's gonna clean up after? Why is the Sangha considered a jewel? I understand and get the support, but it's not consistent.
So now Linda and I are going to respond to the question a bit differently than we often do. We actually each wrote, a freeform wrote, some responses and integrated them together. So I'm going to read what I wrote. Linda's going to read what she wrote, and we'll see how it all comes out. So this was my first response. First of all, I want to acknowledge this way of knowing. It happens in meditation, getting images that, to use a cliche, say 1,000 words. But then I thought about what I really meant by that, and I got to that they contain understandings that are effectively, simply, efficiently, and comprehensively communicated, they're full of it, but that they contain all of the complexity. They're simple, but contain so much complexity. So when she responded with this image from her meditation, it made me really happy to hear this. And I wanted to take up this question because it just seems so multidimensional.
The word consistent rang throughout for me, and I think it's a really interesting word. Unchanging in nature, standard, or having the same effect over time. And I don't ever use that word with the Buddha, who was a human who taught impermanence, uncertainty, and changing nature of views and everything. After the Buddha's awakening experience, he had to go out and teach what he learned to other humans, who he said have a lot of dust in their eyes. We have so many stories about how difficult this was in his own Sangha. He had to come up with a book of rules, a very big book of rules called the Vinaya. And it sounds like any time there was a kerfuffle that had come up within their Sangha, he had to make a rule about it, and they would have to memorize it and add it to the list of rules. And often I hear this referred to as situational ethics, that when something goes wrong, you try to correct it through a statement or a rule. And if he had kept going, was still teaching these days, you can imagine that that Vinaya would be like the longest book on earth.
I think that the word inconsistent actually doesn't just apply to Sangha, it applies to Buddha and Dharma and Sangha. And to quote this meditator, I think they're all can be kind of a mess and fraught with human inconsistencies. And at the same time, I think they're precious jewels, as they're often referred to, each in their own inconsistent way. So again, just like Linda, I came upon the teaching of Nietzsche, which I think could be translated as inconsistency. Now, I know that many people in many Buddhist traditions, many Buddhist teachers would not see it this way. They'd see it more the way the meditator did it, that the Buddha was pure, and the Dharma is pure. But I wonder, would the Buddha want it to, if he was around, this is so speculative, but I can't help, would he have even wanted to be elevated to perfection, as is often perceived? An unanswerable question. And the Dharma, there's so many interpretations that can be helpful. You could see it as something for everyone, but also they're inconsistent because, again, he was teaching to different people at different times. So they're very inconsistent and sometimes not at all helpful. For me, some translations actually of the Dharma really disturb me. They seem so rigid and seem to be pointing to that I need to deny the very things that make my life full, rich, flourishing.
So the teachings are attributions of what this very human said. There are volumes, just like the Vinaya, of his teachings, of his words, translated into so many languages. And he taught, and this is what comes down as part of those teachings, is that he taught person to person, group to group. He changed his language and metaphors according to who he talked to. And this is what we understand as him taking the teachings of the day and turning them upside down, flipping them around to actually use them according to the people he was teaching to convey his understandings. And since I've been around Buddhism, I've seen every Sangha choose which teachings and which translations are more important to them. We wrote the teachings and translations that we value in our book, Reflective Meditation, Cultivating Kindness and Curiosity in the Buddhist Company. And we invite you to do your teachings, which ones are important and which matter to you as well. But you don't have to write a book, right, Nellie? They don't have to write a book.
Oh, they don't have to. They could, but they don't have to. No. We're not of the have to. We're not a have to Sangha, no.
Yeah. So that's our invitation.
And now an invitation to meditate and see what comes up.
Right.